Right, we are here today at the KGVM studios to talk with a couple of volunteers about the Thrive organization. If you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Maria Malloy, and I am the Youth Programs Manager at Thrive and have been working at Thrive for 11 years now.
My name is Becky Hodgson, and I am the CAP Coordinator and Parent Liaison at Morningstar Elementary School, and this will be my sixth school year at Thrive.
Cool. I get the impression that Thrive is kind of an organization that has a lot of different activities and programs.
Yes, that's true. Thrive has been an organization in the Bozeman area since 1986, and we have programs that support, educate, and mentor kids and families all around the valley.
Is Thrive just a Bozeman or Gallatin Valley organization, or is it part of a larger network?
We are grown here in Bozeman. We do have some programming in some other areas in Big Sky and Sheridan, Wyoming, but we are here for families here in Bozeman.
Okay, cool. And so what sort of programs, like what are some of the main programs that Thrive has?
So Thrive has five signature programs, and they're all aimed at supporting kids and families. We have a parent visiting program in which we have people who go and meet one-on-one with younger parents to help them set goals and learn about child development and really sometimes really change the path that they're on. We also have a parent place program, which does a lot of parent education and works with families whose children are preschool age. They're welcome to come in, stop in Thrive if they have any questions. That program also does a Dynamite Dads program, which many fathers and their children are familiar with in the Valley. As well as they do at Thriving Institutes, which will on Thursday be putting on a program at the library for parents to learn about anxiety.
Yeah, and we have some other programming for girls called our Girls for a Change program, which we have different events for girls 8th grade through 12th grade. We have a yearly summit for those grades, girls, where they come to Bozeman and we put on a conference for the girls to participate in different workshops throughout the day and learn different skills and learn more about what the world has to offer them. And then we have programming called Girls on the Run and Let Me Run, which are after-school programs. Girls on the Run is for girls 3rd through 8th grade. And they work on a 10-week curriculum where they meet twice a week, and the end product is completing in a 5K. And the Let Me Run program is for boys, and it has the curriculum that's very similar, and they complete a 5K at the end of the season as well. So cool. It's a lot of fun. They learn a lot about themselves, working in a team, and completing these goals.
I think we've actually got a station ID or two from the Thrive Girls. The
oh, yes. Girls. Yes, yeah, yeah. For sure. Yes,
they came here. That was a very fun program, it sounded like.
It is very fun. The girls enjoy it.
Cool.
Yeah. There's one more program I forgot to mention, actually, which is our CAP mentoring program, which I think a lot of people in the community know about because we match about 600 community volunteers with kids in our Bozeman School District every year. And so that is a lot of times how people hear about us first. And we also have a CAP mentoring program up in Big Sky as well.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's probably the first place that I heard about Thrive was through the CAP program several years ago, I think.
Okay, so, yeah.
So if you want to talk a little bit more in maybe a little more detail about what that program is and how it works.
Sure. We do match about 600 kids in Bozeman schools and then probably another 25 or 50 up in Big Sky. Mm-hmm. We match students from kindergarten through 12th grade. So we have volunteers from the community who come in. They meet with their student every week for an hour. And they meet, we ask people to commit for a whole school year so that they build a strong relationship with a student and they get to know each other. Most of our mentor-mentee relationships last long past that one school year, but we do ask people to commit to that one school year. Thrive offers training for all of the mentors, and then we also have an on-site CAP supervisor at the school who's there to support the mentor with any questions, ideas for activities, really anything that comes up for them. We want them to feel like they have all the support that they need.
So it's an hour a week.
Yes.
Is the how flexible is the timing of that hour? Are there times that are kind of set up reserved for that, or is that kind of arranged between students and mentors?
Sure. The coordinator coordinates everyone's schedules from what the mentor themselves can say they can do in their schedule, and then what the teacher and the child say works for them. So we make matches throughout the school day, which is 8:30 to 3:30, and kind of work with everyone's schedules just to make sure it works. Hopefully it's consistent each week at the same time, same day. It just makes it easier if the kids know when their mentor's coming and can expect them, and then just makes it easier for scheduling in general.
So they're all – each of these meetings is – at the school during the school day.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that this morning when I got to school at 8:30, kids were coming through already checking with me to make sure that their CAP mentor was going to come today because it's their day. And believe me, they know when that is.
They for sure do.
Yeah. After the first meeting, remember, and they check in to make sure that person is going to be there. So we have a lot of people who, you know, are working and will just make that their lunch hour when they come to meet with their student.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So the students are, for the most part, pretty enthusiastic about participating in the program?
We would say yes, definitely. Yeah. And they say they want to be part of the program. And so we're not dragging them out of class saying you have to meet with this person. They say they want it. And the mentor becomes just a great support and friend to them. Sometimes their best friend. And sometimes they really rely on this person to come and be there for them and share things with them and create really cool different projects with them and just really do rely on them to show up.
How do students initially enter into the program? Is it something that their parent or parents request, or they request, or teachers suggest, or?
Yeah, it can be all of that.
Those. Okay. Yeah, all of those. And before we do match a student, we always have all parties on board. So we have the teacher on board, the parent on board, and the student on board. And so that we know everybody is, setting goals for what this match might work on together. We do have a lot of different things that people focus on. So sometimes we have a mentor relationship in which they're maybe helping that student with some academics. Sometimes we have a relationship in which they're really doing some kinds of really enriching things in, say, the sciences or the arts. And then we also have mentor relationships that show up as a kind of a special friend, just kind of a social support, or all of the above happen at the same time. So it becomes a very kind of holistic approach.
Are there a lot more kids looking for a mentor than there are mentors? Or
yes, that is true. If we could outfit every student with a mentor in this school district, we would. But we kind of limit it at each school to what the coordinator can handle with supervising the match and making sure all is going well. But we still have kids that are waiting this school year. We have about 150 kids who are still on our list who need to be matched with a mentor. And so we are always out there just seeing if there's anybody in the community who has an hour a week for the school year that they can commit to coming to the school and meeting with their student and just devoting that time to them and making that friendship.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've got a couple different thoughts here, so maybe I'll ask a little bit more about the coverage. Is there currently a coordinator for each of the schools in the district?
There is, yep. We have a Thrive person at each school.
Cool.
And they cover the matches, excuse me, and some of them also work with the parents in a different capacity. But we do have somebody who can be there, is the point person for the match, introduces the child with their mentor and shows them where they can meet in the school, can give them suggestions of things to do, and just make sure all is going well.
So once that relationship has been established and this mentoring has begun, is it pretty much the not too much of a involvement on the part of the teachers? Have they kind of handed it off at that point?
Yeah, I would say the coordinator does most of the communication with the match. If something comes up and the teacher has questions or wants to give more information to the mentor, then it usually it comes through the coordinator, who can be that person to, you know, make sure everybody has all the information needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The teachers are very busy and they have they have enough to do in the classroom, so we kind of take that on.
Right. So I guess this would be a good time to talk a little bit more about the mentor side of it and recruiting.
Sure.
And what is involved with, you know, making that commitment and what mm-hmm. people would have to do to get ready to be a mentor.
Sure.
Well, the process is actually, we try to make it as simple as we can. People can call Thrive or they can just go online to allthrive.org. And there is, right when you go there, we have the CAP mentor application pop up. It's a very short application. In that, we will ask you to list some references that we can call. And we will set you up with an interview time when you can come in and talk to us about yourself and about what you would like to focus on with a student, what age of a student you would like to work with. Some people are very comfortable working with high school age students, and kindergarten is very scary to them. Other people just really want to be in the elementary school and find teenagers a little intimidating. Either way, we want you to be comfortable. You know, we have some people who come and say, I can help with anything but math.
Right.
So, you know, we aim to please. Mm-hmm. So once you do the interview, we have a short thing for you to fill out for a background check. And then when we get all of that back, we will assign you with a student. Usually your CAP coordinator will call and talk with you a little bit just to make sure we've got a good thing figured out for you. And then we'll bring you to school and give you a little tour and have you meet your student, have you meet your student's teacher. All of our schools have a CAP office in which we have supplies that you can use for games or, you know, some projects, that sort of thing. So you're not, you know, we love it when people come with ideas, but we also know that not everybody comes with a sack full of goodies, and we're happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Are there any particular things that are expected that are expected to be kind of uniform across the different mentoring sessions? Are there things that everybody's supposed to do, or is it pretty open-ended?
I think it's pretty open-ended. As long as you can show up and be present and be there for the student, each match kind of makes it what they want to do. 'Cause it depends on if the student might be struggling in a certain academic subject, then the mentor and the mentee can work on that. Or we might have a student that's really interested in biology or, you know, anything else. And so the mentor and the mentee can kind of take those topics and form what they want. So it's open-ended. The only thing is everybody just shows up and is there and knows that they're there to be a support for a kid. And I think what actually happens is the mentors get more out of it for themselves than they thought they were going to. Everybody comes in it because they want to work with the kid and support our kids in our community, but the mentors get so much out of it that I think sometimes it's a surprise to them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It frequently is, and I get a lot of comments from mentors about what a fulfilling experience it's become for them. And that was not what they were anticipating when they signed up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really a great thing. I think that really the one thing that we do look for is that people are consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that people have, you know, to travel or they get sick or whatever. We just need people to be consistent, and if they, for some reason, can't make it, to let us know so that we can let their student know, because they are very it's very hard, I think, if they're anticipating someone's going to come and then they don't make it.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you ever have, like, substitutes that step in, or is that not probably very workable?
Yeah, not usually, because the mentor and the student have created that friendship or
right.
that relationship. So right. if the mentor, for some reason, can't come that week or is on a family trip for a couple weeks, we'll let the kid know that their mentor will be gone for this amount of time. But they'll be back, and they'll come back and see you. And so we just work it out with
yeah.
everybody.
Mm-hmm. And we can make that work. And we have quite a few people who are mentoring, and they're retired. And retired folks like to travel some, and we are usually able to really make that work as well because they are otherwise very consistent and frequently here for multiple years to meet with their child. So I think that their child feels often very, very safe in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that a lot of people that get involved find it to be very fulfilling, do you have an idea of, like, how many people have been doing it for multiple years, or kind of what the range is of volunteers?
Yeah, you know, we have mentors from MSU, and we have mentors in the community and mentors that are retired. And I would say we, every school year, we need about 200 new mentors, just because people either graduate or move or just don't have time in their schedule or got a new job. But we have a pretty solid base of people that have been mentoring 2+ years. And there's so many that have mentored kids kindergarten through 12th grade that we hear of that sometimes you don't even realize they've been together with their student that long. But when we look back, we're like, oh, they actually have been with each other since school started. And so it's pretty awesome that we have that longevity with mentors, that they make that connection with the student, and that they support our program by being involved with it.
So for mentors that are in it for multiple years, you try to keep them with the same student as long as it's working out for both sides?
We
absolutely
definitely
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And that is and that becomes, well, a couple things happen. I think one, and I call it the second year phenomenon, is when a mentor comes back through the door of the school for the first time on the second year that they meet with their student. You can, with many students, you can almost see this visual change where they are connecting with their mentor in a way that they hadn't the first year. And I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I think it's a lot of just, this person is really committed to this, and this person has come back, and it like ups the trust game a ton for that student. The other thing I think that we are seeing too is that we now have adults who are coming to us and signing up to be mentors who had a CAP mentor when they were a student. And because it was such an impactful program on their lives, and as adults looking back, they're reflecting on that, they want to come and give the same back to another student. And that's really when I feel like we've kind of got it down. Like, this is definitely working if we have people coming back saying, hey, this really impacted my life, and I want to do the same for somebody else.
Yeah, there might not be any better measure of success than that, I guess, really.
So true. Yes.
Yeah.
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 So
yeah.
Has the CAP program been around pretty much through the lifetime of Thrive?
Pretty much, yeah. We are in our 29th school year. So we've definitely been a part of the Bozeman School District for that long, and they've been great partners with us with having us just integrated in the school system and the school day, and everybody being so supportive of having volunteers come in the classroom and take the kids sometimes out of some of their instructional time, knowing that this is an important time for them to have somebody who can meet one-on-one with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this it seems like if the the program's successful and working well, do you help other school districts establish something similar? Are there requests for you to try to grow the program into more areas? Or?
Yeah, sometimes we do get requests, and we have definitely increased some of our programs in other communities. This one, we've done it here, and we're doing it in Big Sky, and so have learned from everything we've done in these two very different communities. And then it all just depends on the school districts, funding, employees, to see what our next step would be.
Right.
Yeah,
in
other school districts.
Huh.
Yeah. But we're always refining what we're doing here, too, and making it the process is the best for the teachers, the mentors, and the students. So,
I could understand Thrive not wanting to, grow it statewide or even bigger, but having a way to basically assemble the knowledge that you've accumulated over that time and make it available if someone wanted to start a similar program in their own city, in their own school district.
Sure.
That seems like that could be a pretty useful thing.
Definitely. We're always willing to talk to everybody and share what we've learned and what works.
Yeah. Thrive also has a parent liaison program, which is in the Bozeman schools. And that is a program in which we have somebody in every school who's available to work directly with parents. We do things like teaching love and logic, parenting curriculum. There's any kind of one-on-one, we'll go to coffee and talk about maybe some challenges at home that are happening that we might be able to have some ideas around. We help find resources in the community that parents might need, and that can be anything from, housing resources, food, clothing resources, to medical or mental health resources, to finding a good summer camp fit for a student. All those things were available to really help parents. The idea being that when there's a strong relationship between home and school, that children really grow and succeed. And that parent liaison program has there's been some interest in that, and there are some programs that have begun in other communities of that program.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Thrive and all of our programming is that we are available to anyone. We have different programs for different stages in your life, but we really are here to be a support to anyone who is in our community. So it's one of, I think, the things that makes us who we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if someone does want to consider being a mentor, I think you've said it all right already, but maybe you can kind of recap.
We'd love to say it again.
How people could
get in
touch with you, and kind of what they might, if there's anything they need to do in prep for it, or
for sure,
if there are any things like background checks or anything that that they might need to expect.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the best way to apply to be a CAP mentor is to go to our website, which is allthrive.org, and it pops up right there. Click on that. Fill out the application. It's basic information of your contact information. We ask for 3 references, and then you'll get an email to schedule an in-person interview where you come to our Thrive office and meet with one of our Thrive staff who will conduct about a 30-minute interview just getting to know you, any preferences you have on a match, any special skills you have. And so we take that information and we use that when matching you with your student. And then during the interview, we also conduct a background check. thorough background check, and we just make sure that everybody is safe to be in the schools. Yeah. And so after the background check comes back, we have your references. We have the mentors attend training. We have an online training component, and we have an in-person training component. And so once all those are completed and everything comes back with a green sticker, then we say that you will match you with a student. And that process, I would say, usually takes about 3 weeks from when you come and do your interview until you get matched with a student.
Yeah.
So we want that turnaround to be quick, so we keep the mentors and get those kids matched as soon as we can.
And all matches meet at the school during the school day. So it actually works really nicely for students or families, because we're not asking you to come in during summer break or holiday break, spring break, that kind of thing. A lot of people in the community have stuff scheduled around that, and so we don't even need you then.
Right. Kids don't have to worry about how to meet after school,
nope,
and they didn't catch
exactly
the bus, and how do they get home?
Exactly. And, yeah. We try to make it easy for everybody involved.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And one of the other nice things, and I actually had a teacher point this out to me, is that it isn't one more thing for a parent to need to do. Their child is getting this lovely one-on-one mentoring opportunity, and they don't have to drive them across town for it or schedule time out of work to make it happen. It's just happening already in an environment where their child is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a nice...
Yeah.
That's a nice way to do it. It seems like... I would guess what it was when you were first working it out, that the schools might have had a little bit of trepidation about how they're going to be able to work this into
right.
the kids' schedules and the teacher schedules and everything, but...
Yeah, but I think everyone has seen how it actually supports that kid and helps the kid be so successful in all areas of their lives. And when the students come back to class after meeting with their mentor, we've heard from teachers that say the student acts differently and is just – you can just see a change for the positive after they meet with their mentor. So once everybody can actually see it with their eyes, they just are like, okay – we'll let you, take the kid out of class.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
We'll make it work. Yeah. So it's been great to have the support from all ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there people that mentor more than one student, or do you allow that?
We do allow that after usually the first year of mentoring, and you have been able to see what our program is and it can fit in your schedule, and you can commit to having another student. We definitely welcome that for sure. And so sometimes that is great. As long as the student is okay with sharing their mentor with another kid and the mentor also is okay with having another student, then yes.
Yeah.
We do encourage that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
So you said it would be ideal if, well, you said it'd be ideal if you had a mentor for every student, but right now you're hoping to find about 150
exactly.
more?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, we are. We have about that many kids still waiting on our list right now. And so we would love to be able to match all those students. Mm-hmm. So we definitely need about 150 in kindergarten through 12th grade.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, sometimes people think that they maybe have an interest that is unique, and they don't think there's a lot of people that can connect with that. And I will challenge you that if you have a unique interest and you show up, we will find you the child
that's
right.
connect
we with will. That. We have some very, kids are just like grown-ups. They have all kinds of unique interests and I think sometimes kind of piggybacking on what Maria said is, we have kids who are very creative, and although they provide a lot of arts in the school, it's just not enough for those little creative brains to need to work on. And so even just having a mentor once a week where you do something really creative, I've had teachers come back and say, you know what? This child is able to focus better on the days they have their mentor, because it's like they've gotten that piece, that need in, mm-hmm. and they've made that they've made that happen for themselves. So
kind of an outlet for something that needs to be needs to be addressed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like magic.
Yeah. Well,
it is.
You know, it turns out interpersonal connections at all different age levels, there's more than a little magic there, right?
That is true. It's necessary, right?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how things develop. It seems to me, and maybe I'm curmudgeonly, but it just seems like the number of opportunities for interpersonal connection seems to be deteriorating, right? People, maybe the opportunities aren't deteriorating, but the willingness of people to take advantage of them maybe is, right?
Sure.
People are okay with staying home and hermiting up and sitting on the couch, right? And
definitely.
But I think as much as people might be think that that's what they want, I think that there's still a part of us that's pretty hardwired to need social connection, and it's probably unfortunate that we're hardwired to need it, but maybe not hardwired to actually pursue it as much as we should.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the things that they're starting to find is that connectedness is one of the best things to help people heal from any kind of difficult situation or illness. It's definitely one of those things that will help your cortisol levels decrease, which means your inflammation goes down, which is, you know, we could do a whole program on that. But there's definitely some healing waters in that connection.
Yeah.
And I think we all definitely believe that at Thrive, and that's why that is the premise of what we do, and allowing that connection to happen in really all of our programs, and knowing everybody or letting everyone know that there is support and we are there for you, whether you're struggling or not, or just need somebody to talk to. That's why we're here.
So, you know, 150 people out there, do yourself and someone else a favor. Go to allthrive.org and sign up.
Yes.
Take a look at the CAP program.
Please do. These kids, they need it and they want it, and they will just be so grateful. And so will we.
Are there anything else that you'd like to say about Thrive? Or?
I mean, we just are always there for families and just create our programming so that people know that there is somebody there that can be of help and support. And we're always looking at what our community needs. Our community is growing and changing, and we definitely want to be relevant for everyone who's coming in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks very much for coming in the studio today and letting us know about the program or giving us some more information about the program. Hopefully a lot of people already at least had a little bit of an inkling about it. And hopefully you find some people to help fill those extra spots.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
All right.